Good morning. During a prayer downstairs, I was listening to this song. It's an older one by the Helsers. And it's called Just One, and it was the extended version. And it's talking about just one drop of Jesus' blood, and everything changes. And, you know, we live in such a physical world, but, you know, we're supernatural and spiritual beings. And so I believe just one touch of the Lord today and everything can change in your life. And getting a touch from the Lord isn't as hard as it sounds. It's opening up your heart. It's opening up your life. It's asking God to remove any blockages or hindrances that may be in your life that have been keeping you from being able to see the truth and know the truth. You know, when we experience God's truth, and Jesus is the ultimate truth, when we experience the truth, it says that he will make us free. And I believe freedom is a form of transformation. When you're set free from things that have been in your life, I can speak from experience. It's like you're living a new life. It's like you're living a new existence. And so would you stand with me as I pray and we get ready to worship? Let's just have a heart of expectancy today that we can see a fresh change in our life. That the transforming power, the truth of God, would just permeate every part of our being. And that we would walk out of here in a greater level of liberty and freedom. Father, we thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus, your one and only Son. You gave him for us. You loved us so much that you gave us Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you came. You came and you made a way where there seemed to be no way back to the Father. You came and you released your truth for the day, and that's a truth that we can live in now. So Lord, you just do your work in us that you need to do. We give you permission. We want to make room for you right now, Holy Spirit, to work in this service. Spirit of truth, lead and guide us now into all truth, and let that truth truly, truly make us free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. over the broken situations in our lives. 'Cause you are my champion, and giants fall with you. Stand undefeated, every battle you won, and I am who you say. Yeah, we're on the right side. families. If we put him at the center, it changes everything. Oh, you don't know what to say right now. All you gotta say. To get anywhere. He's patient. And if you're willing, I believe in this moment, Jesus can minister to you without anybody praying for you, without anybody laying hands on you. Although we believe in that too, I believe that right now there are individuals in the room that just need a fresh touch from heaven. Our bodies come into alignment with heaven, our minds come into alignment with heaven. Turmoil in family, turmoil in marriages, turmoil with kids, turmoil at work. I
I just believe that we give it, if we lay it down this morning, Jesus is faithful to restore, faithful to walk with us through it. There's nothing too grand. There's nothing too big. These aren't just fancy words. These aren't just words that we say as Christians. This is truth. This is the God that we serve.
Still believe.
speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God,
come alive.
couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, breathless love of God.
Never.
so many people say that Jesus was a prophet. He's a great teacher. That we should live by his golden rules that he talks about. But a lot of them, they just end there. And they just think that the world turned on him because he was so good. And they miss the fact that he was reckless. They miss the fact that he was fully determined and fully persuaded and fully convinced that what he needed to do for mankind was to hang on that cross. For you, for me. Jesus. You use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Help us really realize, Lord, how much your love worked back then and is working in our lives now. Your reckless love, Jesus. Let that truth, Lord, of your love for us, persuade us, convince us. Can have greater freedom in our lives so we can live for you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's do that chorus, I Don't Deserve It, one more time. Everything from your life, from your body, so that we could be fully loved by God once again, fully embrace that love, and fully have a relationship of love with the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will take a few minutes and greet each other, love on each other. We'll see you in a few.
Rowdy bunch of folks here. Good morning. I love it. I love that you guys are enjoying each other. It just brings such pleasure to my soul seeing you guys like really enjoy and communicate and just love on each other. All right, we're going to move into declarations. Can I get some excitement about that? Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah, you guys, like I love this part of service because we get to use our voices and the authority that comes with them to make changes not only for our house but for our city. Amen. All right, so if you'll stand with me, we're going to do declaration over our city today. On the count of three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord.
Today we declare stay in state, and have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley, as it is in heaven.
Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for just your presence being so adamant here in the Yakima Valley. Father, I pray that you would continue to move mightily and steadily in Jesus' name. God, that each and every one of the hearts that are in this room today, Father, would have just continue to be stoked for you, Lord, and that as we go out into the community, into this valley, Father, that people would feel a difference, Lord, that they'd feel you in a tangible way in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You guys, I just, before we move into announcements, I just have to tell you, like, I know that our declarations are doing things. I work right on the street, that North First Street, and just the agitation that's starting to happen because of the things that we're declaring over our city, it's making movement. It's causing for people to want to move into alignment with the word, which is causing whatever has been keeping our people in this state of captivity to be agitated. And I'm on the other side of that, and I get to see it face to face from day to day. And I just want to encourage you guys that the things that you guys are doing, that the things that you're stewarding in your private time with the Lord, the things that we're doing here as a community is making a difference in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, men's barbecue. The devil does not like it when we gather and enjoy food together and commune. Amen. It's at 6:30, even though it says 6, but it's at Villalobos, yes?
Yes.
September 17th, and from what I understand and what I know, he cooks a mean meal. So, don't miss that. And bring friends to enjoy, because this guy knows what he's doing. And it is a very missed opportunity if you don't do it. You will be very sad. And it's such great community, such great conversation. The men in our church are wonderful. And so it's an opportunity for you guys, even if you have young ones in your home, younger men like youth age, invite them. Have them come and enjoy some meat. Amen. All right. And then for us ladies, we have salad. Yay! Which is good too. I could put down a steak, but the salad is good. I love it. It's refreshing. And we have really, really good conversations as well. Not only are you going to have a yummy, yummy salad with lots and lots of toppings, we're probably going to have a really good conversation that goes really deep in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that is September 23rd, 6:30 to 7:30 downstairs. Please invite. This is our opportunity, the men's barbecue and this salad galore. This is our opportunity to bring people who probably wouldn't want to come into a service to be able to come and be around good-natured people who only want the best for them, right? Where they can be eased into who it is that Jesus is. Amen. Amen. And then we have giving. Guys, thank you so much, like, for what it is that you do choose to give. I know that faithful giving has gone down a lot over the last couple of years. It just is kind of like the way of the world. But I love that you guys are continuing to be faithful and steadfast in trusting him in your finances. So as you feel the lead from him, the stirring in him, just continue to do that and just be obedient. And we're just so thankful for you, because that's part of like our worship, right? Is whenever we can partner with the Lord. So if you feel that, awesome. Thank you so much. If you don't, that's okay. Take your time. He's good. All right. So, children, Tegan, Leanna, the two, you guys want to go downstairs and do some worship of our own? Yeah. All right. So if you guys will just extend your hands so we can pray over these guys. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these hearts here. God, I thank you not only for these two, but for the others that will be coming in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this tiny but mighty team of children, Lord, that are stirring up their own spheres of influence, God. I thank you, Lord, for capturing their heart at such young ages. Yes. Lord, that even though they're tiny, their spirits are mature, and that it receives everything that you have to offer them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Nancy. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is good. How's everyone doing today? Good? It's nice to see everyone here. You can tell when summer gets over, you start seeing faces you haven't seen for a while. So praise God. Through the last couple of months, I was doing not the parable series. And so we're back on the parable series today. And before we do the series today, I want to just make a disclaimer that this is the word of Jesus. this is him communicating. This is not man. This is not me. So what I'm going to communicate with you through the power of talents are truths that we need to take to heart and ask how we're to apply them to our lives, because this is one of those words that Jesus gives that's challenging. So let's go ahead and read it together. You don't have to read out loud, but you can read up on the board with me. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, with this word. Come in the name of Jesus. And we just ask, Lord, that the truths that we're to receive here today, Lord, from this word, Lord, would fill our hearts. That it would cause us, Lord, to evaluate, Lord, how we're to apply this word to our lives. We know that you spoke no idle word while you were here. Everything that you said was necessary for us to hear. So, Lord, we just ask right now that we would not take, if we've heard this before, for granted, or we would not just say, I've heard this all before, but Lord, we would take this to heart today, how we're to apply this for our lives. I just thank you, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is here right now, the Spirit of truth, and releasing truth in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So, starting from the top, says here, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. There are a few key things here, but I think, again, what we need to realize that this is a parable describing the kingdom of heaven, or describing the ideas of the kingdom of heaven, or the principles of the kingdom of heaven. We've had some previous ones. We've had the kingdom of heaven is like a seed planted in the ground. It's like a mustard seed. We had that. We've seen where the kingdom of heaven is like the idea of forgiving others. We've seen all of these other parables, and most of them are about the kingdom of heaven. But notice this one is about someone going to a far country. How many know that when Jesus left this place, it's like he went to a far country? When he ascended into heaven, most people believe is on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples were there as he went up. It's like he went to a far country. And how many know he's been gone seemingly a long time, 2,000 years. To God, it's like 2 days, because a day to God is like 1,000 years to us, or 1,000 years to us, it's like a day to him. So it hasn't been a long time for God, but it seems like a long time for all of us. But look what he did. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So this is about his servants. This isn't about the world. This is about his church. This is about his people, of which we are. And it says, and to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. And then this is the key. He gave them to each according to his own ability. I love that. That it wasn't according to the guy he gave 5's ability that he gave the 1. He knew that the 1 that he gave the 1 to was able to produce something with it. He wasn't setting him up for failure. You know, sometimes we have God do things in our lives and we think that, oh man, I failed. God must have set me up to fail. No, that's not God's plan. God is not planning for us to fail. He believes in us, even though we don't believe in ourselves. I believe this one who went and hid his talent, God believed in him. The Lord believed in him. He was convinced that he could take that one talent, that small one talent, and make it into something. And so I want you to know that God doesn't put my calling on your life. He doesn't put Pastor Eric's calling on your life, or some person, you know, that we all look to that's now with the Lord, Billy Graham, or somebody really big, or you know, the sister Mother Teresa who was in Calcutta and feeding the homeless and taking care of them. He doesn't put that necessarily on your life. He doesn't put someone else's talent on your life. We'll see later on that it's to each one of us he gives us our gifts. But we all are accountable for what he's given us. The New Living Translation says it this way. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. So he divided what he had according to their abilities, not someone else's ability, their own abilities. It says here, Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So I wanted to just communicate a little bit to you. There has been a lot of talk on the internet that, how many have heard of the rapture? The rapture is something that we look forward to, the coming of the day of the Lord, where our physical bodies are transformed, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, into glorified bodies, and that we can always go and be with the Lord in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as some say. And there's beliefs out there that there's certain timelines, and we see in the book of Revelation, we see the other prophetic books that there's a timeline. But for some reason, we're in a season again where there's communications out there. They're saying it's this September 23rd. Anybody have heard that? Oh, okay, well, I'm just giving you information. So I just want to let you know, Jesus said himself, no man knows the day or the hour, not even the Son of Man, speaking of himself at the time. Now, does Jesus know sitting next to the Father? I don't know. He said, he finished that. He says it's only for those things for the Father to know. And for whatever reason in the Godhead, there's something about the Father knowing when all of this is to conclude. So when you hear people giving dates or timelines and saying, you know, that, you know, the tribulations are coming, or, you know, the great apocalypse, or people use different terminology. Just know that the Lord will come in the fullness of time, just as when he came the first time. When the time is right, he will be here. Now, have there been signs that we're kind of in the last days? Yeah, all around us. There's signs. There's earthquakes, you know. There's a lot of people believe, and I think it's a miracle how Israel became a nation again, and that kind of started this prophetic clock again. But nobody really knows when this time is going to be. I would say, as these servants probably needed to be, they needed to be looking for the Lord's return any day. And that's what we need to be doing, is realizing that any day he could come back. And any day he could be asking us what we did with our talents that he entrusted to us. Amen? All right. Verse 20 says this, "So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Now, Luke 19 has, it's not exactly the same, but it's following the same mindset, has another time where Jesus, or it's the way that Luke interpreted what Jesus was sharing. And he literally says, you were ruler over 5 talents. Now you're going to be ruler over 5 cities. And to the 2, he says, you're going to be ruler over 2 cities. I believe when we're faithful in little things, God allows us to be faithful and have the opportunity to be responsible for more things. I don't believe I would be sitting. I didn't go to seminary. I didn't go to Bible college. Oh, man, you guys can start throwing tomatoes at me now. How am I qualified to be standing up here? Because I was faithful in little things. I believe God saw my heart, you know, when I was, I don't know if you guys know this, but for 6 years, I did a Saturday morning Bible study in the Yakima County Jail. Because I felt called to it. It was so crazy, because when the Lord told me, because we were ministering, going as Yakima Foursquare to a Sunday service, and different ones of us would speak. And one day I was in prayer, and the Lord said, "I want you to do a Bible study at the Yakima County Jail." And I just thought, oh, well, okay, you told me, it must be available for me to do it. So I was in the elevator with I can't remember what Martin's last name was, but I said to him, "Hey, I'm supposed to do a Bible study." Now, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that the guy who was doing it had just said he was going to be basically retiring. And he looked at me like maybe I had known. Someone had told me. It says, "Oh, well, you have to be like, you know, qualified. You have to go through, you know, I have paperwork and all this stuff, because, you know, you're in the jail and you're right there with all the prisoners and nobody else is there when you're teaching them. Not like I have guards. There were 2 murderers in one of my Bible studies, and most people know the murder they committed, and I was never afraid or anything, but there was nobody else there with me. I'm saying that I was just being obedient in those little things. I wasn't a pastor. I was just loving on people and communicating the gospel the best that I knew. And I believe that God entrusted me with more. I'm telling you, if the Lord tells you to do something or encourages you to do something, do it. Because as you were faithful in those little things, as it says here, you were faithful over a few things. If you take those talents and apply them, you're going to be ruler over many. And you may not see your rulership until heaven. You know, where Paul says that we'll be judging angels. I don't know what that means. Judging angels? I mean, that sounds pretty big. And I'm sure when he said it in the letter, he's probably thinking most of these people are shaking their head because they're thinking, me judging angels? You know, especially when they were fighting between each other. All right. I'm just telling you, be faithful in what God gives you, and you will be amazed at what will happen in your life. I believe there's blessings that I've received because of that little faithfulness of that 6 years of being in that jail service. And I mean, I did not feel qualified to be teaching these guys. It was every other month. So I should say that I did six months out of the year because someone else did the other 6. But as I was faithful in those, I believe he imparted things into me that only eternity will show what happened because of it. Verse 24. "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord,
I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. I want to stop right there. I think this might be the key of why we maybe don't do the things that we do with God's talents that he's given us. Fear. Fear of failure. Fear of what other people might think of us. Fear of what the Lord might say if we fail. I'm telling you, if this guy would have tried to do something, I believe, with the talent and lost it, if he had tried, if he had shown initiative, if he said, well, the Lord said, I can do something with this, he wouldn't have been reprimanded. I don't believe that the Lord is going to condemn us for trying and failing. At least we tried. At least we were trying to be obedient. Has anybody ever failed at anything that you think God told you to do? Yeah. We're not perfect. But don't let fear keep you from exercising the gift that God's given you. Don't let fear make you so that you're literally frozen in your giftings and callings in God. Because you have giftings and callings in God. I can show you later on, I will show you from the word that you have gifts from God. They may not be like my gifts. They may not be like somebody else's gift. But your gifts have been given to you for a purpose. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. I wanted to say one more thing. Hid your talent in the ground. What would you say that the ground sounds like? I think it sounds like the earth. I think it sounds like the world. I think a lot of people end up taking the talents that God gives them for the kingdom, and they just apply it to the world. They end up taking the talents that God's given them, and yes, they use it for, you know, exercising the ability to work at some place and make money, but maybe those talents aren't just for that. Maybe they're also for the kingdom. I have the belief that we are the kind of people that we're here right now, the kind of personalities that have, the kind of temperaments, the kind of like what makes us tick, that it's because they're for eternity. I don't think God's made us this way just for, you know, standing on, you know, this ground. I believe he's made us this way for eternity. And we're going to see how God's going to take how he's created us now and allow it to bring more glory in eternity. And I believe the more that we apply here, the more we'll see that glory. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Again, I told you, this is Jesus' words. This isn't mine. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So this servant, for whatever reason, saw their Lord different than these other two. I don't believe that they saw him as a hard taskmaster. I think they saw him as someone that was giving them an opportunity to bring increase to the world or bring increase to what he had given them. And this one, for whatever reason, said, oh, if I mess up, he's going to crush me. If I mess up, he's going to, you know, come down on me hard. That's what he's thinking. If we look here in Luke 19, this is how it's described there. You wicked servant, the king roared, your own words condemn you. If you knew that I'm a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvest crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Here's what 22 says in the New King James. And he said to him, out of your own mouth, I will judge you, you wicked servant. So what is happening here is that this situation is taking place because of the servant's belief system. I believe it's not because of the Lord. I believe, as he says, it's your own words that are condemning you. It's your own words that are judging you. You thought this of me. Now this is who you're going to get. Unfortunately, I think because of the way we can develop our belief systems as Christians, we can manufacture God the way that we want to approach him, not realizing that he's the I am. You can't really put him in a box. And we receive what we believe he is. If we believe just that he's a God that's standoffish and doesn't really care about what's going on in our lives, we're probably going to be mostly indifferent to him. But if we believe that he's a loving father who gave his son so that we could have access once again to him and have personal relationship, then that's how we're going to approach him, and that's what we're going to receive. And unfortunately, this evil servant, as he's called, wicked servant, evil servant, thought that this Lord was going to be a hard taskmaster, and that if he failed, it was all over for him. Well, it was all over for him because that's the way he viewed him, not because of the way he was. 28 through 30 says this: so take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. That doesn't sound fair, does it? When I first read this as a Christian, I'm like, what? Are you serious? You're gonna take from them who has very little and give it to the ones who have more? And even if they have nothing, you're even to take that away? And I needed revelation of the goodness of God, and I didn't really have it at the time. See, I didn't understand that this principle that he's talking about is because of the way that people are applying their lives to him. If you don't apply your life to God, and you just receive something from him, and the more that you receive, the more you're accountable for. Do you know that? If you've been sitting in church for a lot of years and just hearing the word and hearing the word, but doing nothing with it, but you know these words that have been spoken over you, you're accountable for much. Sorry to say. And if Jesus is coming, and it may not be just when he comes back, it may be at some point in your life saying, where's some fruit, son? I need to see you responding to what I've done in your life. You know, I always love John the Baptist. He tells the Pharisees when they're coming to be baptized, he says, why are you guys coming? You know, and you brood of vipers. You know, he had a nice way to talk to them. But he says, if you're going to come, you better bear fruits worthy of your repentance. In other words, if you're turning from your ways, then let's produce some fruit. I believe that we're supposed to be fruit-bearing people. And this is what this is talking about. This is talking about fruit. Even though it's talking about talents and types and, you know, and metaphorical, you know, parable. It's really talking about, are we bearing fruit with our lives? And are we bearing fruit that will remain? Not just temporary fruit. Fruit that will remain. That's what the Father's looking for as we're grafted into the vine. 26 in the NLT says this. Yes, the king replied, and to those who use well what they are given, use well, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. So again, it's using what we've been given and doing nothing with what we've been given. And only you can answer the question of what you've done with the talents that God has given you. There's a power of talents. And the power is to gain, or it's the power to lose. Luke 8:18 says this. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. So again, here's this principle again. If you're listening, if you're paying attention, if you're really listening to what he's saying, and I believe when we truly, truly listen, we respond to what we hear. In other words, we're not going to be like it says in James, where we look in a mirror and we walk away and forget what we look like. That's likened to the person who hears the word but never does it. We're going to be like people who look in the mirror. Oh, this is what I look like. We walk away. Those are like people who do the word when they hear it. And when we are doers of the word, I believe we get to keep what we've been given as we bring understanding to the word that's been given to us. But when we don't pay attention and we don't take care for what we've received, then I believe it's take other things are taken away. Again, these are Jesus' words, not mine. Matthew 25:30. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I really don't want to elaborate on that. I think it speaks for itself, unfortunately. Now, is this talking about that they're going to go to hell? I don't think so, because it's by the blood of Jesus that we're receiving his grace. It's not by our works. But I believe that there is a process that we go through in eternity. And Paul describes it as our fruits come to bear, and that some have fruits of basically precious stones, and other have fruits of wood, hay, and stubble. And then it says that fire will test those works. Again, I don't know what that means, but it sounds like those works that are just of wood, hay, and stubble, in other words, they're fruitless, are going to burn. And Paul says the person will be saved, and I like to say, except for the smell of smoke on them. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to go before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and see my whole life burnt up and all that's left is just me. Nothing to offer, nothing to give. Not that anything that I give him is going to be worth anything. But I have a feeling that this idea of weeping and gnashing of teeth is the sadness and the horror and the aftermath of what a life of being unprofitable as his servant is like. We may find out someday it's much worse. I pray it's not. But why do we want to test it? Why do we as Christians want to test the goodness of God or the severity of God? Because that's what we're talking about. Matthew 8, 10 through 12 says this. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." This is talking about the centurion who said, "I want to send my servants out. I've got a servant who's sick. I want to send my servants out and go to this Lord, this Jesus that's been going around and healing people, raising the dead. And I want you to tell him that my servant's sick and I need you to heal him." And so Jesus, when these men come to him, says, "Oh, okay, I'll go." You know, no. He tells his servant to say, "No, you can't even come under his roof." Because he's a Gentile. He knew Jewish law. He says, "But you who have the power, just speak the word. And when you speak the word, it will be done." This guy knew about the house of miracles. And he was calling on the house of miracles to do a miracle in his house with his servant. And Jesus said, "Oh my goodness, this Gentile has faith. I haven't seen this kind of faith." He marveled and said to those who followed, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." That's us, guys. For those of us who are of the Gentile class, which means we're not Jewish, we're not of Hebrew lineage. But he says, "But the sons of the kingdom," and now he's talking to the children of Israel at this time, "but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, again, we're using the same phraseology that we had in Matthew 25. And so it could be much more than what I'm hoping it is. Because, I mean, I, in my heart, don't want to see anybody go to hell. I really don't. It just being separated from God for eternity, I just can't even imagine it. Not after I've had him living in my life and giving me peace and hope and comfort during times of crisis. I don't know what it would be like without that in my life. And I know that going into eternity means to be closer and closer to the one that I've had this relationship for all this time. So I don't want anybody to go to hell. But obviously there is choices that can be made by us, not by God, by us, that tie his hands and allow them to choose their destiny. And that's what Israel, the sons of the kingdom, were doing at this time. Mark 13, 32 through 37. But of that day and hour, no one knows. There we go. That's talking about his return. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not in the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work. So when Jesus left, he gave authority to us. You may not feel like you have any spiritual authority, but you do. When you come into the kingdom, when you come into relationship with God, he gives you a divine authority. We were kind of singing about it in House of Miracles. You know, I believe you're working, I believe you're healing. Champion, you know, talks about how we're champions with God. Because of what he accomplished, we become champions. You know, Paul described it this way, we're more than conquerors through Christ. You know, there's so much that we've been given that we don't realize that we have. It's like we're kings, but most of us live like paupers. Or, you know, what lowest of low, you could say. Because we don't realize all that was done for us to have authority as his servants and to have a work to do, each of us. It says, and he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. I think this is one of those communications by Jesus to let us know in this day, not just them back then, us know that we're to be watchful and looking for his glorious appearing and being ready for his glorious appearing in such a way that we live our lives ready. We don't just watch and then live however we live. We watch and we live how we know he wants us to conduct ourselves. And really how he wants us to conduct ourselves is listening to him and being obedient to what he says. You can't conduct yourself the way that I live or the way that anyone else in here lives. But if you conduct yourself the way that God asks you to live, well done, good and faithful servant. You're using your talents for his glory. Romans 12:3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. The King James says it this way, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So each of us have received faith from God to use our gifts. You shouldn't have to have me on a Sunday tell you to go use your gifts. The faith that you need to use those gifts has been imparted to you. Or the grace that you need to use those gifts has been imparted to you. So what does that mean? That means you need to step out. You know? Peter said this radical thing to Jesus when Jesus was walking on the water. Lord, if it's you, require me to come to you. Ask me to come to you. And I'll come. And, you know, you've probably seen different movies. I think the Chosen scene did an amazing job with it because they made it so that, you know, the Jesus was going, you know, away from him and everything. But he had to step not just out of the boat. It was like he had to, like, crawl over. I mean, It wasn't like just getting out of a little dinghy. It was like a fishing boat that he had to get out of. All 12 disciples were on it. So it had to be good size, right? It wasn't just a little. He had to step over the side and step into the water. He had to step out of the boat. just like he had to cast his nets. He just knew if Jesus, if it was Jesus and he was asking him to come, he wouldn't sink. And he didn't at first. He walked on water. That's because he knew Jesus. And Jesus to him was the grace that he needed to get out of the boat. And we know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, get in your word. Get in your prayer closet. Spend time with him. Open up your heart to him because he will reveal himself to you. And when he does, that grace is there to use the gift, the measure of faith, to use the gift that he's given you. And in 12, it talks about different types of gifts. I want to leave this with you. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And the Williams translation says it this way: as all of you have received your spiritual talents. There we go. The power of the talent. You've received it. You know, Jesus, when he said, "It is finished," and you said, "Lord, I receive that finished work of you on the cross in my life. I accept that you died for me." You received the gift. And the gift starts with the Holy Spirit. So you're not lacking anything. Yes, I'm glad you're here on Sundays. But you're here for me to help you realize who you already are. Not to impart something to you that you don't already have. There's nothing I can say that will put any more of God in you. All it will do is activate the God that's already there. Because you have the fullness of Christ in you right now. And it's called the Holy Spirit. If you ever think that you lack anything, realize that it's a lie. It's all a lie. You have received the fullness of God in the Holy Spirit. So what is it that we're lacking? The renewing of the mind. We're lacking the ability for God to come in and change us. And when he changes our mind by truth, remember at the very beginning of the service, I prayed, "Lord, let truth, Holy Spirit of truth, come and lead and guide us into all truth and help us experience that truth, because that will make us free." And guess what? If we're free, then we start to realize we've received spiritual talents and that we must keep on using them in serving one another as good trustees of God's many-sided favor. You've been entrusted with the kingdom of God. And these parables, in this particular parable, it was described as a form of a talent. But it's much more valuable than any amount of money. Because what you've been given can create wealth if you need it. What you've been given can create health if it's needed. What you've been given is creating life if it needs to be given. You've been given the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I know, it doesn't make sense. It's foolishness to your carnal mind and mine. But if your spirit hears it, if your heart hears it, if you can receive the truth from your inner man where Christ is, just one drop and everything changes. Never be the same. Is it possible to never be the same when you leave here? Absolutely. Because all you've done is made a choice to let God use the talents that he's already given you to reach ones who may never hear from anyone else what you have been imparted in you. Father, we just come before you right now. And we thank you, Lord, that you have put the power of talents in us. And it doesn't make any sense Because like that song said, we couldn't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve these talents, Lord, but you've given them to us to reach the world, to reach ones, Lord, that need a touch from heaven, to reach brothers and sisters, Lord, who may be going through difficult times and need someone else to come alongside and say, God's going to help you get through this. This isn't the end. God has a new chapter in your life. Or God's going to take right now what the enemy's determined for good, and he's going to determine it just for evil. He's going to determine it for good in your life. He's going to literally turn it around on the enemy. These are words that you can speak to others' lives. Maybe you just need to love somebody at work. That's the most unwelcoming to any kind of love. But God's asked you to step out of that boat. He says, if you'll walk this way, I will let a grace rest, and I'll let you touch this one. Like you in the next few days, maybe even this afternoon, ask the Lord what your talents are that he's given you, that you don't want to bury them anymore. You don't want to hide them. You want to use them for his glory and for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. I say it all the time, but you started this work in us. Would you be faithful as you truly are to complete this work in us? And if we've been pushing you back, or if we've been believing lies, change us, Lord, so that we can truly become who you have called us to be and use our talents that you've given us freely. Freely we have received. Help us freely give back. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
helpless love, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would all learn how to live in that reckless love in such a way that we testify of you in this time to this lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, love you. Have a great day.